Welcome back to the Kennesaw State University I Teach podcasts. I am today one of your hosts, Max Gertz, and today co-host, maker bus driver, and all-around coach extraordinaire, Luke Ziegler, and I will be talking about the world of maker education. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, doing well. Glad to be here and glad to be joining the conversation.
Awesome. So do you want to give us a breakdown of kind of who you are and what you do with the I Teach team along with co-hosting this podcast?
Absolutely. Sure. So my main role with iTeach is I'm the iTeach MakerBus Engagement Manager, which means that I facilitate and manage MakerBus events, meaning I take the MakerBus out to K-12 schools and institutions and community centers and try to serve our local community and students with maker education, encouraging them to create, design, iterate, and build, whether that's with their teachers or with their family. We just love to spark curiosity and creation in students.
Awesome. Well, you certainly sparked my interest. So today we are talking making with a maker. And Luke, what is your story for today?
Yeah, so as I was thinking about this podcast today, I just kind of thought about how on the Maker Bus, we travel to a lot of schools for specifically STEM days or STEAM days. And as I go to and facilitate these events, I continually think about, you know, why is STEAM just limited to one day out of a 180-day school year? When we could be incorporating these concepts and, you know, this curriculum throughout the entire year. The reason why we call the Maker Bus is because we believe that everybody can identify as a maker. You know, some people right off the bat, they might not identify as a scientist, a person who does technology, an engineer, or a math person. But everyone can identify with making something, whether that's cooking in their kitchen or, you know, building something outside with, you know, a fort with sticks or creating something with Legos. They can identify with a moment in their life that they have made something. And we believe on the Maker Bus that that kind of disposition in people, that kind of attitude of being a maker encourages students to get into the STEM field or the STEAM field. And so, you know, as I think about all those times that I've been involved in a STEAM day, I really think we should be incorporating, those concepts across the, you know, throughout the year.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And you're drawing a distinction from what I'm hearing between maker education and STEAM or STEM education. And I'll break it down for listeners who may not be familiar, but STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. STEM is the same without the arts piece. Those are those acronyms. But what do you mean differently, or how are you differentiating between maker education and STEAM or STEM education?
Sure. Yeah. And like I was saying, on the Maker Bus, we kind of just believe that identifying as a maker is more inclusive. There is a piece of a a bit of art and creativity that's involved in being a maker. And so part of that is STEAM, that, you know, we do have art in there. So being able to solve problems creatively, and then also being a maker, there is a sense of building a growth mindset in students. And so a lot of times in the STEM or STEAM fields, or if you're having a STEAM day, it's, you know, it's focused on a science project or a technology project or an engineering challenge. But students, maybe they haven't been introduced to the concept of having a growth mindset, which is what is required to, you know, overcome certain engineering challenges or solving scientific problems, is being able to understand that learning is not a fixed entity, but it's a continual growth process, and reflecting on what you're creating, how to make changes and adapt to make it better and improve what you're doing. And teachers can kind of tap into that by already identifying and understanding, you know, what students already know, and leveraging that to help them grow as they continue to make and identify as a maker. So we just believe that identifying as a maker is kind of, you know, at the base level of what it means to be involved in STEAM and STEM. You know, it makes those areas richer and more vibrant for students when they identify as a maker.
That's awesome. I'm hearing a lot of you discussing the concept of sort of leveraging maybe a low tech to get to the high tech. So maybe leveraging the lower tech part of engineering to not necessarily being explicit. It's a little bit of a wedge sort of to get into the concept of engineering. Am I kind of hearing that correctly?
Yeah, sure. There's absolutely, you know, a low tech, high tech situation there. And, you know, a lot of times in the Maker Bus, we do challenges, whether it's like, you know, getting students to create towers with spaghetti to put marshmallows on the top. And that's a very low tech project, but it's a rich project that helps students understand, you know, about building structures and about distributing weight and getting them to understand those concepts using no technology helps them to, when they actually use the technology, it becomes more meaningful and richer and a richer experience.
And something that I'm really interested in terms of maker education, and something that you sort of just talked about, was the low-tech iteration. So the spaghetti building a foundation in more technical terms, right? And then students having the ability to reflect on that learning. So maker education for me is really impactful because of, and you've spoken to this a little bit, the iteration concept and how students have the opportunity to go back and try again. So on the Maker Bus, when you think about students having a growth mindset, using an iteration or a design process, how does that reinforce the concept of a growth mindset for students?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, across the board on the Maker Bus, all of our projects are focused on that design thinking component of getting students to understand that when they're creating something, you know, it might have flaws in their first prototype. And, you know, whether that's a spaghetti tower with a marshmallow on top, or that's a catapult with popsicle sticks, or maybe they're making a chariot with some kind of robot or a robot. Failure the first time doesn't mean failure the end, it's over. But let's try again. Let's see what we can change to make it better. And I think that that builds in students, you know, it's something that they can apply across the board to their academic life and just in life in general, that failure, there's a sense of productive failure, that instead of viewing failure as an end full stop thing, how can I leverage this failure to move forward?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And really considering, just like you said, kind of bringing it full circle almost, it's not just about one day. It's reinforcing this concept of iteration and growth mindset, which I know we've spoken about on this podcast before, for an entire year, allowing students to iterate and create and recreate all over again. Because we're speaking about this, what was the last thing that you made?
Yeah, so the last thing I made is a bunch of IKEA furniture for my deck. My wife just bought a bunch of IKEA furniture for our deck. So I've actually been working with my son, who's 4, putting together some IKEA furniture. So, which is great because there are no words in the instructions. It's just a guy pointing to different screws and pieces. So it's great to work with a 4-year-old on IKEA furniture.
I can definitely think about and speak to the amount of resilience it takes to build IKEA furniture. So I think that's a great real world explanation of how making really does work.
Absolutely.
So you told me recently about a story that you had when you were talking to a professor at Kennesaw State University. And I want you to talk about sort of this everyone is a maker mentality, and something that he really brought in that spoke to me when we were talking earlier, because I thought it was a really interesting comparison or point to bring up when discussing maker education.
Sure. So the conversation I was having, both the professor and I have a background in music. He is a former music ed person that was going to be a band director before he became a professor in instructional technology. And my background is in vocal performance, and I went through a bout of trying to be a songwriter. So we were kind of just talking about how our prior fields and what our passions of music have kind of collided with our education and passion for maker education. And he kind of proposed to me this question of, do you identify as an engineer or an artist? And he kind of proposes this question to his students each semester. Do you identify as an engineer who is trying to, solve problems, efficiently to create a product or, create a solution to a problem? Or do you identify as an artist, someone who is looking to pull out things of humanity and create something beautiful, and also trying to solve a problem? And we were kind of talking about how maker education, it's important for students to kind of think about, well, they don't really have to be one or the other. There is a beautiful combination of the both, where, engineers are trying to solve problems, and artists are, trying to bring out the best of humanity in beauty and describing what it means to be a human. And when those two are combined together, we create, beautiful solutions to help people overcome complex problems. And, we talked about it in the sense of songwriting and how, the people who write songs, they the first time they write a verse or a chorus, that's definitely not the first time what they immediately go with. Now, there are some incredible songs out there that were written in 15 minutes. But most songs and music that is written, it takes a lot of iteration and collaboration with others to create that beautiful product. That's a song, or that's a an orchestra piece or whatever.
Absolutely. And I think of, as you were talking about the process of making and how relatable it is, I thought of the song "Sad Songs Say So Much" by Elton John. And at the end of the first verse, he says, "'Cause from the lips of some old singer, we can share the troubles we already know." And really bringing in that whole process of making, and he made this song, but it is ultimately like this relatable thing that everyone listening to it can actually experience. And we all sort of share that experience together, and the relatability of making something that you're doing every day on the bus as we get back out into the world is something that is really effusive, and it's really an awesome togetherness experience, which may be something that we're all kind of missing in this world.
Yeah, sure.
But I really appreciated you bringing that, an artist or an engineer, and why not both? I think that's a really interesting question to explore, especially through the lens of maker education.
Absolutely.
So we're going to kind of wrap things up, and I really appreciated hearing about your experiences on the Maker Bus. If people are interested in maker education and employing it in their classroom and doing it at home, what are some places that you would recommend going to?
When the pandemic started in 2020, we launched something on YouTube called MakerTube, and it is a series of videos that we have made that focus on getting students to build simple maker projects that they can create at home using household materials, so whether that's paper or simple craft materials. So that's called MakerTube, and it's on the KSU iTeach YouTube channel. But some other resources online that we promote are Instructables. There's lesson plans on Instructables for STEM education, STEAM education, maker education. And then also makered.org is a great resource.
Awesome. And I also think about the Maker Camp that Kennesaw State is putting on this year. And if you are interested in getting your children involved in Maker education, definitely come on out. I know I will be part of a week where we are going to discuss the making of rockets, which I'm really excited about. But check out Kennesaw State University's iTeach page. And we are holding our Maker Camp in person in July. We're very excited about that and having kids back. As far as getting back on the bus, how are your feelings about that? Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I'm stoked about it. You know, in the month of May, we have already booked up pretty much every week in May with events. So we're going to be out and working with students in a couple of elementary schools, and it's going to be great.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to joining you on the bus next month, and I appreciate you stopping by and talking Maker Education with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Max.
Thank you. From all of us working on Season 6 here on the Kennesaw State University iTeach team, thank you sincerely for listening. And if you'd like more resources, check out our resource hub at ksuiteach.org or follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or even YouTube. If you'd like to get in touch with us directly, check out iteach.kennesaw.edu. Thanks again.